concert this morning. Seriously, Tom, you're not lying like always. Yeah, you do. As a matter of fact, you do. Okay, I guess so. Tom is one. Do we have another one? No, he doesn't get a hand. Someone else must have one. Who else has a colored bulletin insert? You got some blue and gold on there. Huh? No? Okay, it's me again this morning. All right. So while we're at it, I don't think we got a picture of them. Did we get a picture of Tom and Cheryl helping Jenny last week? We didn't. No picture, but special kudos, whatever those are, to Tom and Cheryl for helping Jenny move. Yes. All righty. Well, let's see what else we got going here, shall we? Welcome. Bible study Wednesday night, yes, and the numbers are great. You're welcome to join us, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and following. Be ready. All right. Then on Thursday night, look at that beautiful bunch, church council meeting for the first time in a long time, and we got a list of stuff to talk about. All right, give those people a hand. Thursday night at 6, all righty. And then next Sunday, there he is. We're going to change that. His Kathy and I agreed that she called him a wizard. I said, well, okay, he's the Wizard of Odd. Not Oz, of Odd. And so we're going to change his name to the Wizard of Odd next Sunday. Keep him in prayer. There he is. Yes. Baby bottle boomerang. Some of you have taken those. There's 3 bottles left. Get them while they're still there. And bring them back on Father's Day full of gobs of money for Life Choices Pregnancy Center. Yes, thank you. And be sure to put your name down there so we can keep track of you. Is that it? Okay, I was thinking there was something else. I'm not forgetting anything else, am I? Oh, okay, all right. Well, front of your bulletin has Matthew chapter 21. It says, the blind and the lame came to him. That, of course, is Jesus at the temple. And he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. And so we invite and welcome our children in, especially today. This is Children's Day. And we got some more kids coming in. Welcome to Jim and Brittany and Evie and little Bennett. And oh yeah, Grandma Anita. All righty, let's pray. Father, we come as always with rejoicing and thanksgiving into your house today. Again, mindful of the freedom we have to do so, and glad just to be able to do it. Thank you, Lord, that you're here in our midst. You are the one welcoming all of us. We open our hearts to you and to each other. We pray your blessing and favor and anointing in this service today. Special blessing for our children. Thank you for them, the blessing they are to us and to you. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Stand for a moment and greet somebody you haven't had a chance to. Tell them how glad you are they're here. I'm on 4. I guess I'm going to stay up here today and try to behave myself. Bulldog, where you at? Just, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Get it on there. Okay, this is just awkward. But we're going to make it happen, right? Is it going to do it this one too? Because if it's going to do it anyway, I'm going back to this. No, it's okay. Sorry, we are getting things improved, but I guess we're still in the process. So anyway, I'll speak up. It's doing something. I have something for you later, by the way. That's what I was just going to say. Say, don't forget. All right? You don't have it. You can't have it yet. Does anyone know what a progeny is?
Use Alexa's mic.
Try this one. Aren't you glad we have more than one mic? Because if we only had that mic, we'd be in trouble. And if we only had that mic, we'd be in trouble. If we only had that mic, we'd be in trouble. But since we got three mics, maybe. So this is two. Is that better? No, it's supposed to be. Ollie Lula is what I was going to say. Okay.
You're deep in Daniel's den.
I guess so. The lions are roaring. Okay, we're going to enjoy this, right? I mean, nobody is offended by this. Okay, let's just pretend like we're out on the beach and the birds are doing their thing and all of that. Okay. So a progeny. Does anyone know what progeny means?
Yes, your offspring.
Thank you, Beth Ann. Good for you. The offspring, children, progeny. Does anyone know what prosperity means? Oh. Touché. Well, okay. Not according to Scripture, however, according to Beth Ann. This is fun. This was worth coming for already, right? We could just say amen and leave and we're all happy. Perspective. Good. All right. So we're going to consider progeny, prosperity, perspective, according to what the Bible says. It's a combination of our yearly theme, 2020 Vision, and Children's Day, and God's perspective on that. All right. And God does promise prosperity to our children. And we've let the kids go, most of them, but it's important for those of us who are older. Either we have children, we've got grandchildren, we've got nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever the case may be. It applies to all of us this morning. And so we want to just give a word of encouragement to that. And consider, first of all, teaching. Teaching children. Okay, what does the Bible have to say about that? I know you've heard this before, but we're going to remind ourselves this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please, Alan.
These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, directed me to teach you and to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Yes. I shared last week in PJ's personal perspective about this kind of experience and the blessings that I have received in my life because my mom and dad took this scripture seriously. The commands, the teachings of the Lord, they're not so that he can put his thumb down on us and keep us from having fun. It's quite the opposite. The best life, the most prosperous life you can live is according to God's word, his law, his commands. Put it as negative a word as you want, it's still positive. And that's been my experience. And I just want to encourage all of you to that as well. And you who are parents here today, I know that this is your heart as well. And you're doing your best to keep that so that, and it says in there, Ooh. So that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life, enjoy all the good stuff. Can I do that? Thank you. Boy, we're really breaking free today, aren't we? Are the commandments still relevant today? Hollis, don't say anything. You'll have your chance next Sunday. This is what Hollis is going to share about next Sunday, contemporary commandments, and they're still relevant. And so I just want to encourage you parents in that. And so this was in the book of Deuteronomy. The psalmist continues on this theme in Psalm 32.
If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever.
Yes. Mike Williams, do you remember what you said Wednesday night in our study about the sins of the fathers?
Do I remember what I said?
Yes.
Was that before yesterday?
I'm afraid so. Something about the sins of the fathers. What happens with the sins of the fathers? Flow forward. For yes. Yeah. Sadly, I think we're seeing that played out in our society today, sadly. On the flip side, on the good side, the Lord is blessing those, and it flows down through the generations. Mine goes back many generations, and we're doing our best to pass it on, and you are as well, I know, this morning. No, we're not going to go there this morning, TJ. I'm sorry. We're not going there. Sorry. No. All right. The psalmist continues in Psalm 78.
O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables and will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Yes. From one generation to the next, teaching the children, and even those children that haven't been born yet are at stake in what we're sharing here today. And so we want to be faithful to continue to pass it on. Finally, another psalm passage connected with a few proverb passages.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his child, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him, for he knows For he knows we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his perceptions. He who fears the Lord has secured fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. Children's children are crowned to the, and parents are the proud of their children. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him.
Do we need to hear any more about how God promises to bless the children of those who honor him and who obey him? No, I don't think so. We just need to say amen and put it into practice. But there was one thing in that last psalm passage that I wanted to emphasize, and that is the Lord is compassionate and forgiving, and he will forgive and restore and make things right. So that if we have been heirs of bad things in our lives, or if we have maybe passed something on already to our children that wasn't so positive, can the Lord redeem it? Can he restore it? Can he make it right? Can we put an end to the cycle because of God's love? There is not that we're without hope. Because of God's love, as a father to his children, he will forgive, he will restore, he can make things right, he can bring good out of even those things we've done wrong. And so let's have that hope today. None of us are perfect. We haven't raised our children perfectly. We're going to make flubs in the future, hopefully not very conscious sins willfully, but God will still forgive and make right. And so I give that to you as what we can teach our children this morning. On the other hand, can the children teach us anything? Do they have God's perspective in any way? Teaching children, children teaching us. What does it say in Psalm 8 and Matthew 21? We've touched on that already this morning.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. The blind and the lame came to him and the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?
Yes, and so the teachers of the law, the holy people of the day, got all indignant because these children were singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Suppose those very wise, holy people had something to learn from the children? Yeah, the children knew, those who were supposedly the holy ones of the day, they hadn't figured out yet. And so they needed to learn something. And in another place, this made Jesus indignant. We'll see that based on how they were treating the children. And my take on all of that is, it says in the psalm there that he has given children voices to silence the foe and the avenger. I never really thought about that before. What does that mean? The children's praise is going to silence the foe and the avenger. It silenced those holy people. It silences the enemy of our souls. Jesus received the praise of the children because it reminded him that the enemy was done for. The praise of the children ought to remind us that the enemy has been defeated. And whoever is a foe against us, The Lord is going to use the faith and the belief, the praise of children to defeat it. So let's be like that. Let's be like those children singing those praises. Jesus adds to this in Matthew 18.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me."
Humility, obviously, is one of the things that Jesus said children display. That easy faith and belief, receiving the things of the Lord, children display. We get older, we become cynical, we experience some negative things in our lives, some disappointments and all of that. The enemy wants to use those negative experiences to make us no longer like children, that we become mature and adultish in everything, our perceptions. And I'm thankful that even to this day, I still view myself as that little boy who went to the altar when he was 4 years old, because that was the first pure, true moment in my life that has carried me all the way these 60-some years. And I don't ever want to forget that. The Lord reminds me of it often. Don't you ever forget the child within you that received the Lord and that defeats the enemy when you praise the Lord and welcomes them, because you're welcoming Jesus when you do that into your life. Mark's record has a little bit of a different slant on this.
People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
It saddens me when I have a conversation with someone who wants proof, scientific proof, that there's a God, or he wants to reason through things in order to be able to come to belief. Because that's not a child's reception. A child has an open heart of faith. It takes faith to believe in a God that we can't see. We see evidence all around us, but sometimes we don't receive it as from God. We think it's science, we think it's this, it's that. And a child receives these sort of things by faith. And so I want to encourage you to continue that. Jesus got mad when they rebuked the children. It says he became indignant. Remember the elders, the holy muck people got indignant when they heard the praises of the children. Jesus got angry when he saw the children being rebuked and said, "No, you can't come. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you'll be like this little child." Thirdly, then, Paul returns us to what we might call complementary commands, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3.
"Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged."
Can we see how those commands to the children and to the parents complement each other? Children are to obey their parents. Parents are commanded to be careful with how they teach their children, not to embitter them, not to turn them away from the Lord, to show them love like God, to show forgiveness, to show the healing, to show the caring, the arms that the Father desires to cradle them in. So these complement each other. You lose one, it affects the other, right? One way or the other. And so all of us, children, who we still are, or adults, whatever relationship opportunities we may have, need to be careful to keep these commandments, right, Hollis? I didn't like the fact that the version you read, Cheryl, it was not your fault. It just happens to be something left out the so that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Finally, the Apostle John refers to his readers as children and commands them to continuing child. And that's in 3 John 2 and 4.
Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
I have spoken to this passage many times, and of course I always think of Johnine, because she's doing that, and there is no greater joy for a parent than to see their children walking in the truth. I remember when I was at Warner Pacific College, and we went on a retreat, a spiritual life retreat, and part of the experience was to make a little something, collage, whatever, montage, I don't know, to give to your parents. And I put a picture that looked like me walking along a path, and I quoted this passage and sent to them just to express my appreciation, but to help them know that this child at least was walking in the truth because of them. I knew that that would give them the greatest joy possible. And so I want to encourage you to do the same. As we grow older, and as I said, John was writing to adults, but he called them his children. And so we need to understand that even as children, we still, as adults, we still are children. We do need to continue to walk in the truth. And I would say the older we get, probably the more true that is, the more urgent it is that we can give a good example to those who are following behind us. So let us continue to be children. Are you a child of the King? Are you sure about that? How? How do you know? I said so? He said so, yes. With Jesus, my Savior, the song says, I am a child of the King. That's the song we're going to share in response this morning. I want us to share it as a celebration and as an encouragement to each other. Alan and Lula are going to come and lead us in this hymn as well. It's number 434 in your hymnal. Let's sing loudly and with joy that we are children of the King. And then we're going to have our children come back.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them, but now he is pleading our pardon on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Praise his name.
Some real children. Who's that? You and Dwayne? Oh, I see. Brett and Dwayne. Yes, I'm not going to argue that. In the most beautiful and pure way that we shared about this morning. All right, yes. And now we're going to pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your marvelous love. You are a good, good Father. You are the perfect example for us and the caring, nurturing side of you as well. Thankful, Lord, that as we've shared your word and your spirit this morning, you've reminded us of how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much you desire for us to experience good things and to share them with our children, to pass them on, that others may be blessed as well, and it might just continue like that. Thank you, Lord, that you not only encourage us, you challenge us and convict us by your word. And each one of us in some way, no doubt, have been touched this morning in a particular area, a place that we need your healing, your forgiveness, your restoration. And so we receive that this morning with gratitude in our hearts, praying, Lord, that you can have more sway and control in our lives as we offer ourselves back to you, and that it will be evident in the things that we do, the things that we say, and how we relate to people. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here this morning. We're thankful that you kept Sue from a more serious injury, that she's able to be with us. We pray your healing touch for her foot, that this would not have long-term consequences, but that it would be a short-term thing, that you heal quickly, and we pray that you will also minister to her emotional needs related to this, and of course, especially spiritually for her and her family. We continue to lift up little Colton to you. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet way that he carries you in his life on his back. Thankful, Lord, that you promise your healing for him, and we continue to just entrust him to you and claim that for him. And as well for Beth Ann, thank you for her strong testimony and show of faith, and that we could express our love to her this morning through Shannon's help. We pray your blessing on Shannon also. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Dawn in her need for healing. Thank you that her surgery was successful. We pray that you will continue to give her renewed health and strength, function day by day. We also lift up Cindy to you, Dee's daughter, who has pre-colon cancer. And we ask that you would minister to her, not only physically, those needs, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you, Lord, that you care about everything, and not only the physical, material things, but especially the deeper issues of life, what's in our hearts, what's in our minds, the way we perceive things. Thank you that we can have more of your perspective on things as we share together. Lord, our hearts are grieved, and we just shake our heads as we look around us and we see what's going on around us. And sometimes it seems like the enemy's just having his way fully. But help us, Lord, to know that you are the victor, and that as we continue to praise you in our lives like little children, that you have promised victory over the foe and the avenger, and that we can claim your victory, that you can work good even in these present circumstances. Lord, many hearts and minds need turn to you, and so we pray that your Spirit would sweep over us and through this nation and around the world, so that your glory can be more clearly seen and more lives will be drawn to you as a result. Help us to be sensitive, faithful, and true in whatever you call us to day by day, moment by moment, that you can use us to that end, and eternity will be changed as a result. We lift these things to you, and also other expressions of praise and testimony that will be shared. Yes, Lord, and that reminds me as well of Carter and Stacy Envick and their loss, and Hollis and Kathy's ministry with them. Others that are going through a time of grief, that Hollis and Kathy, others will be sharing, beginning a class tonight with Grief Share. We pray your blessing on this as they lead this, that you will use them to share your love and the comfort of your Spirit, the hope for eternity that can make a difference in the lives of these who are grieving and losing their loved ones. Lord, you have been faithful. You are good. You are good all the time. God is good all the time. We're thankful to you, Father, as we honor our children before we leave this morning. We pray your blessing again on them, and that as we go from your house, you will help us to continue to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient, that we may honor and glorify you in everything. Thank you again for that privilege in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Are our children here yet? Meant to give a cue to bring the children. In addition to what I shared earlier, we have some little gifty things for the kids before we all depart. So we'll. I want to give a special shout out to Anita and Brooke. I think were the two that did a little shopping for our kids. Got these things ready for them. Give them a hand. Anita and Brooke. All right. And so she has them ready. Here they come. All righty. Little Colton and... let's see. Colton. Angelic. Alexis. Sterling's... No, that's Mighty Max. Ollie Lula. And Kristen Chrislin, Sterling, ever-living Evelyn, beloved Bennett, I think is on the floor again. Who else did, Morgan's up front here. Yes. Get one for your cousin there, Sterling. That'd be great. Yes. Thank you, Sterling. You really are Sterling. We wanted something for Morgood, Morgan. Morgood. Give our kids a hand. Nita and Brooke, everybody. All righty. Did everyone get one? I didn't get one. Where's mine? I'm a child. And they all said, get out of here. We love you. Bye.